Well, good morning. We made it. At least I feel that way. Oh man, having kids changes things, and especially when your husband's out of town. But I'm really thankful. I got a lot of help from some beautiful friends, and I'm just so, I don't know what people do without church community. I'm so thankful for the family of God that we take care of each other. So today's message, what the Lord put on my heart to share with you all this morning, is on eternal vision. Focus on forever. In Psalm 90, it says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." Another translation says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So why number our days? The world tells us, YOLO, you only live once. And that's not actually true. That's not actually correct. There's life beyond this short life that we live. And the Lord encourages us to number our days, because if we realize just how brief our life is, we will make different decisions in this lifetime. So when we realize the brevity of life, we will invest wisely. Invest our time, invest our energy, invest our talents, our giftings. Whatever. If you can invest it, you can put it in that category. We invest it wisely. Something that came to mind was how silly it would be if we invested, let's say financially we had money, and there's this really, you know, popular, cool account, and we decide to invest in that account, but we know at the end we don't actually ever get to cash out from that account. Would we still invest in that same account? And I believe in the same way the Lord encourages us, like in Matthew 6, to store up our treasure in heaven, to invest wisely, invest in an account, a heavenly account, that we do get to cash out when it's all said and done. So, I have a little illustration that I'm borrowing, I've seen somewhere, and I just feel like it explains it really well. Let's see here. Oh, yes, this rope. Ooh. Watch out. Oh man, all of eternity is coming with me. There we go. This is working. Working. Oops, there went the trash. So, thank you. I might need some help unraveling this. So, pretend that all of this is eternity, and it goes on up the stairs, around the top, out the door, around the world, a billion times, through the universe, to another galaxy far, far away. Okay, let's just pretend that. Wow, you're good at this. Thank you. Okay, so just pretend that with me, okay? This is eternity, goes on forever and ever 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 to infinity and beyond. And this little blue piece right here that you see is the life that we get to live here on Earth. This little part. Let's see if I can stretch it out a little bit to get the point. Wow, shut up. Wait, ooh, look at that. The decisions you make here go on into eternity. So that was extra. That was just on the fly. So this, the Lord encourages us, Scripture encourages us, if we realize the brevity, just how brief and short our life here is on earth in comparison to eternity, forever and forever, we'll make decisions a lot differently, right? And sometimes we can make decisions that affect, like maybe we're right here, you know, Lord, who should I marry? Where should I live? And where should I go have a job? I don't know, whatever. What account should I invest my, you know, stimulus check in? Or I don't know. Like, we're right here. We're making decisions that affect maybe here or even the end of our lifetime. But that's all it does. It's so temporal. And it feels like it's so far away. But it's actually not. Eternity is what lasts forever. And so the wisdom in the Scripture says, if we remember to look at this and to number our days, we're going to live with a lot more wisdom. We'll gain a heart of wisdom. We'll grow in wisdom when we remember this. So the more we number our days, we grow in making wise investments, which I believe are eternal investments. That would be wise, according to Matthew 6. Without realizing the brevity of life, we will ultimately make very short-sighted decisions. Temporal, often foolish investments that end when this life is all said and done. I'm going to leave this here so you guys can look at it and think about forever. Watch out. There we go. All right. Edwin Hubble Chapin says, every action of our lives touches on some chord that will vibrate into eternity. Therefore, if our decisions have great consequence and potentially eternal consequence, it's important for us to have eternal vision. So let's stand and read what the Bible has to say about vision. Proverbs 29:18, if we can read this all together, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Thank you. You may be seated. Some other translations read, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who heeds wisdom's instruction. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. Say that one to my children. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Another translation reads, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. So, what happens without eternal vision? Number one, life will be unfocused, especially with so many options being thrown our way. We live in a world where we have so many decisions, so many options, so many things available to us. And without eternal vision, it's really easy to become reactive to these things instead of proactive. It's really easy just to roll with the punches. Okay, well, I got to make a decision now because there's no vision. We need to have vision for our lives in light of eternity. Number two, without eternal vision, we will do whatever seems right to us. In Strong's, the word perish, it's the Hebrew word, the number is 6544, for all of you who study the word is para. It means to perish, to run wild, be uncovered, unrestrained, to cast off, restraint, and further biblical usage outlines to act as leader. Which is really interesting in the book of Judges, which is where this word is also used. It says twice that the people, there was no king in the land, and the people did what was right in their own eyes. So without eternal vision, we will do whatever seems right to us. This is what works for me. This is what's right for us. This is what's right to me. Well, who's calling the shots? Who's the boss? Who's in charge? Really? And the Bible says without that vision, we put ourselves in the place of God. And we make those decisions. And we do what's right to us. Number three. Without eternal vision, we will be undisciplined and comfortable with convenient and easy. So I have a gym membership. It's been a while since I've been there because it's a workout just to talk sometimes being pregnant. So I'm like, oh man, the gym. But it takes discipline not just to get a membership, but to actually show up, right? And not just show up, but to actually apply weights to our muscles and to push ourselves. If we really want to reap the benefits of a gym membership, it's not easy or comfortable, right? Or convenient. Easy and convenient do not produce growth. Discipline and challenge produce growth. If we're only doing the easy stuff on the treadmill, we're never going to grow. If we're only lifting the weights that are super easy, we're never going to grow. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to embrace challenge. And that's where growth comes from. In the same way, when it comes to our Christian walk, we need to embrace discipline. We need to embrace challenges because that's what produces growth in us. Not easy stuff, not whatever's convenient, not whatever is comfortable, but discipline, challenge, that produces growth. And growing as a Christian, guess what? It's not necessarily comfortable. But ultimately, it will reap the results that we really want. Number four, without eternal vision, life becomes inconsistent with what we say we believe. What do I mean by that? So, in the same vein of exercise, I can say all I want. Exercise is super important. Health is really important. But if I never go to the gym, I'm always on the couch, I eat donuts, I eat chocolate, and I drink soda, and I never eat my vegetables, and I never use, you know, never exert myself and get my heart rate up or whatever, then I don't actually believe that, right? I'm not actually telling the truth. And with grades, some of you are students, with grades, we can say all we want that it's really important to get good grades. It's really important to be a good student. But if we're flunking all our classes, I don't think it's really that important, right? We can look at our actions and what we say and just, are they inconsistent with each other? And that's what happens when we don't have eternal vision. The truth is that we live our real priorities all the time. And I think Pastor Joe has said this, but we live what we believe. If you want to know what someone believes, watch their lifestyle. And without eternal vision, what we say is not going to line up with our actual lifestyle and our actual life priorities. Okay, so that's what happens when we don't have eternal vision. So what happens when we do with eternal vision? What's the promise of God here? Well, number one, life will be focused. There is focus with vision. And like Paul, we press on, we run with endurance, we fix our eyes on Jesus. There is laser focus in this lifetime. Number two, with eternal vision, we let God lead. He's the leader, and he does what's right in his eyes. He calls the shots, not us. He's the one that's in charge. Number three, with eternal vision, we embrace God's discipline and instruction. 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 27 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Oof, that's a word for me too, right? I'm the one here preaching. So we need to embrace God's discipline and instruction, and that comes with having vision. And then lastly, number four, with eternal vision, we are joyful and blessed. It's not based on outward circumstances, but based on an inward state of being that flows from obedience to God's commands. If you look at Proverbs 29:18, the promise here is, he that keeps the law, happy is he, but blessed is he who heeds wisdom's instructions. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. Blessed is he who keeps the law, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. It comes with obedience to God's commands. Obedience to God's commands leads to a life full of joy, and we're ultimately blessed. Okay, so it's going to be hard for me to say. The American Optometric Association. Ooh, I said that. I said it! I kept pronouncing it weird. I just looked up, okay, so the experts on vision, what do they have to say about maintaining healthy eyesight? Because Lord, I'm sure the Lord has something to say about that for us as we look for having eternal vision. So, a few things. The American Optometric Association tells us four things to have to maintain vision. And for us, what does that mean as we maintain an eternal vision? Well, number one, get a regular eye exam. Get your eyes checked. I brought my glasses up here because I wear glasses, but I'll explain myself if you're like, why aren't you wearing them? I will explain myself. They are actually for distance, and I don't have to see you guys in the back, although that'd be nice to see. Oh, look at that! Hey, hello! See the brunettes? I see your faces. Okay, so I need glasses for distance. And I'll tell you how I found that out. So as a student, I was in a class, like a big lecture hall class, and I was getting super frustrated because the professor was way too fast with his slides, and I just couldn't, like, keep up with the handwriting, the notes, and I was... And after a while, I don't even know how long, maybe a couple weeks, I was just, like, getting really flustered with it because he would just move on to the next slide, and I wasn't ready, and I turned to one of my classmates at the end of class, and I asked her, like, isn't he going too fast? Are you able to get the notes? And she's like, no, he's going just fine. And I'm like, well, I can't ever get them, but that was never a problem before. And she suggested, well, when was the last time you had an eye exam? And I said to her, I don't need an eye exam. Like, he needs to go slower. That's where the problem is. I'm not the problem. He is, right? But in all honesty, I was like, I can read just fine. It's like, I'm not sitting there like, oh no, what's before me? Like, I see the words just fine, but then he just goes on too fast. And then she explained to me, well, you think you can see, but maybe it's taking your eyes that long to actually read what's on there before he moves on. And that's why you feel like he's going fast. And I was like, okay, well, I'm getting frustrated because with this note-taking stuff, so I better go get my eyes checked. So, got my eyes checked, went to the expert, and I needed glasses. So, I have glasses now. I have I call these kind of like my mature teacher glasses. Like, I feel smart and, like, refined. And these are my, hey, what's up, I'm relevant, young and free glasses. And I've been looking at some, like, cool, like, tortoise print ones, but we'll see. I don't want to have, like, too many glasses. But that was, like, a game changer. I got my eyes checked. I was told, okay, I actually need glasses. Little did I know. And so I got glasses to help correct my vision. And then going to class was awesome because I was like, this is great. I can keep up with my notes. And then after having my glasses, I remember coming here and being like, wow, I can see Pastor Phil's hair. Like, like I could see like all the little hairs. Like before it was just kind of all blended, but I thought that's the way it was supposed to be because of the lighting. Anyway, I was like, I can see his hairs. I can see things. Like the details were just like sharp. And it was a lot easier for me to see. It was a lot quicker for me to see, and I'm probably a safer driver. So, bonus for all of you too. So, anyway, the point of my story is, I would have never known I needed glasses if I hadn't had a classmate next to me that knew a thing or two to say, hey, like, when did you last get your eyes checked? Because to me, I can see just fine. I wasn't like, oh man, it's really hard to see. It was, you know, I had a symptom, which was I was slower at seeing, but I didn't realize it was because my vision was the problem. So in the same vein, when it comes to having eternal vision, we need accountability. We need people involved in our lives, others around us, or we won't ever know that there's a problem with our sight. We won't ever know that we need help. And ultimately, I didn't just stop there and say, okay, well, she thinks I should get my eyes checked. I probably should. And then I just left it at that. You know, Google self-diagnosis so I can avoid the doctor's office. Like, I didn't do any of that. Like, I set up an appointment to go to an expert in the field who knows vision, eyesight, and how to correct it. And in the same way, we need others in our lives. We need accountability, or we won't know there's a problem. And the final step, we won't go to an expert who can actually help us. We need that. And so, in the spiritual sense, I believe this means, for one, we need to study the Bible as far as getting our eyes checked. Study the Bible. We have Bible classes. We have Bible foundations. We have Mirror. We have Carpenter series. We have so many things available to us. We need to utilize them and study the Word of God. Next, we need to repent of our way. Living counter to God's way is sin. And He says His ways are higher than our ways. We need to be willing to turn to Him and live life His way. Next, we need to obey His commands. Jesus said that this is how we show Him that we love Him, that we obey what He tells us to do. We obey His commands. And then lastly, like I touched on in my story, we need to be accountable. So join a small group. If you're not a part of a small group, join one. Join a small group. Be faithful to attend. Come to church. Let other people know you and be a part of your life. It will really help with getting eternal vision and getting our eyes checked. Okay, number two, how to maintain eternal vision. We need to protect our eyes from damage. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God. And what came to mind for me was just, you know, if you're working with wood, I don't really do that, but my husband does. But if you're working with wood, you have to put on these glasses so you don't get like dust and little pieces of like splintery wood to go into your eyes and damage your eyes. When people are welding, they have a welder's helmet. When we're out in the sun for a prolonged period of time, it would be wise for us to wear sunglasses to protect our eyes from UV damage. So there are things that in the spirit God tells us to put on to protect our vision in light of the atmosphere and the environment that we're in. We're in a spiritual battle, the Bible says. We wake up to one, we live in one, we go to bed in one, and we sleep, and it's still going on. It doesn't pause. It's going on all the time. The Bible says we do not battle against flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle, and He gives us and tells us to put on the full armor of God. I have this song, if any of you parents want me to send it to you. I have this song. It's like a VBS song from somewhere else, but the armor of God, it's really catchy, and it helps me, like, I got my belt of truth check, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the spirit. So anyway, that helps me go like, okay, put that on, truth, the vest, or not the vest, but, you know, breastplate. Sorry, I think vest. But like breastplate, helmet. And He has these things available for us, and we need to put them on. We need to protect our eyes from damage. Number three, we need to maintain a healthy vision, eat a healthy diet. So what does that mean for the Christian? We need to be consuming truth, the Word of God. We have a Bible reading schedule. There's a lot of devotionals and Bible reading schedules out there that are available to us today. And our church has a Bible reading schedule available on the Living Faith Fellowship app. If you're more of a paper person, we have the paper schedules back there. But we need to be regularly in the Word. We need to have a regular diet of truth and be consuming God's Word. Eat a healthy diet. And then lastly, number four, how to maintain an eternal vision. Get regular exercise. The thing I love so much. No, get regular exercise. The American Optometric Association says regular, because I was kind of like, okay, what does that have to do with your eyes, though? You know, I was a little bit like, okay, what did the optometrist say? Scroll down. They say that getting regular exercise improves blood flow and removes toxins that can affect eyesight and healthy vision. Like, okay. So maybe I needed more exercise. So I have glasses. That's all right. So we need to get regular exercise to have healthy eyesight. And then the same thing in the spiritual for the Christian, we need to have regular exercise, or we need to be serving regularly to the Bible says that faith without deeds is a dead faith. And so we need to be serving regularly. It's part of what helps us have healthy vision, eternal vision. A really practical, I mean, there's so many things. We have Carpenter Series 301 that helps us go through our spiritual giftings, our talents, our strengths, and that's really awesome. I really highly recommend that. It's really revealed so much to me and so much to our family and the people I work with and how we can really serve well together. But you don't have to wait for that class. A really practical way and a really practical place to start is Wednesday work party. Just show up on Wednesday, and that's regular too. That's already in the schedule. Every Wednesday, you can just come. And that's a really practical place to start with starting to get to serve regularly. And then from that place, who knows what the Lord can do. And so a little, I know like Spencer's not here, but I think Laura might be. Anyway, my kids are playing at home Wednesday work party. They're like, okay, you're Spencer and I'm over here getting the tissues. And then and they're just like playing that. So Spencer, Laura, and Melissa, they help lead the children at Wednesday work party, which is an opportunity for us to come together as a church and to serve together and kind of do some family chores, get the building ready for all the ministry that happens in here. And so it's really cool because they involve the kids. And so my kids look forward to that. They love Wednesday work party. They love feeling like contributors. And they play Wednesday work party at home, and they take turns of who gets to be Spencer, the one leading the group. So it's really funny to me. So thank you guys for making that an enjoyable experience for my kids to come. They love coming. So friends, as I conclude here, just some final thoughts. How are your eyes doing? How are my, like even me, as I was preparing for this, I was just spending time just like, Lord, how are my eyes? How's my vision? And we need to ask him that. How are our eyes? How's my vision, Lord? We need eternal vision. A vision that comes from the presence of God. Because he's the eternal one. And if we need eternal vision, it comes from God. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, God, for teaching us to realize the brevity of life that we may grow in wisdom. Lord, we want eternal vision. Lord, we want to see. God, we invite you to examine us, to search us, to check us. Reveal to us, Lord, the condition of our sight and correct our vision, God. Help us to live full of eternal purpose. And Lord, help us to teach the next generation to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Hi, thank you. That was awesome. Isn't she delightful?
Thank you.
Yeah.